here somewhere. He transcribed all of the honours boards, you know, from what's now the Lion's Den, used to be the changing rooms and the gymnasium before that. And I wonder if I could just put sort of from your playing era in front of that for you to pick out any other players. We've been through that first programme, but if we flick over from there and see which players came in later.
Ron Pitt. He and Bayliss used to, well, yeah, when I came to Gloucester, one of the big pop groups at the time were the Animals. And what had Pitt and Bayliss become known as? Animals. And they were. What a pair. I mean, to look at them, it sort of frightened the life out of you. It was quite horrific. Nick Foyce was there. He came from Cheltenham. But he was built like a brick outhouse and looked like a second row forward, but was actually a winger and quite tidy, but I never played with Nick. Bob Clues, wing, he was sort of more my era, but again, 500 plus games for Gloucester and scored a shed load of tries. He really did. He was very, very able, Bob Clues. But again, somebody that nationally never got a mention. He didn't exist. It was a sort of anonymity of Gloucester players, if you like, that they didn't come through. Perhaps that was our fault. Andy Fielding. Now, there was a talent. He just left school, and I think he was at Millfield, but nobody held that against him. And he was a very, very able young man who got badly injured at rugby, then went off to Australia and never really saw him again. Ronnie Etheridge, I remember Ronnie coming, that Ronnie looked about 12 when he came. And again, he'd come straight from local, and he'd have been a star now, what he was then, that he just took the game by storm. This sudden bang of somebody who enjoyed running onto a high ball. Mm. And Ronnie sort of caught everybody's imagination. Here was somebody, wasn't a place kicker like Eric, but he was a new dimension to the game and did run exceptionally well and exceptionally effectively. John Haynes, he took over from Dick Smith, and John, very, very able, seven. I think he did play for the county, but not very much, but far better than in the sort of pecking order than he was ever given credit for in the national scheme of things. That he didn't have Dick Smith's hands, but he had some sort of pace. And he was one of these players that could explode in about 5 yards and bang. Whereas Dick was fast, John could probably get away just a few inches ahead of that and used it very, very effectively. John Watkins, wonderful, number six. Usually ended up with about 30 stitches. I think he actually quite enjoyed it, you know, that he would just put his head in. And that was in the days when kicking on the floor was fairly normal. Didn't bother John Watkins at all. Bang. He'd go in, and he and Potter together could scavenge so much ball that otherwise, you know, the opposition would have had. They don't get write-ups for it, because of course most of the people doing the write-ups don't know anything about rugby. They report the game, but a lot of them don't know what won the game or what was a big factor. And it could be a six who was just for 80 minutes on the floor scavenging, slightly offside some of the time, and generally making sure they didn't get the ball. And John Watkins was outstandingly able at that.
Getting to know John a little, you know, of late, very modest man.
Oh yeah,
deeply given his achievements. What was he then?
Always has been. Yeah, always has been. Very quiet. Would never mention anything that he's done. So it needs a few more people to tell others what he did, because he had a fantastic career. And he would have been—he'd have been a good professional rugby player now. he would have taken to that. That would have suited him down to the ground. Very, very able indeed. There's a name
we
here.
Have interviewed him, so yeah. Oh, right. We have pulled some of that
did
out
you?
Of him, yes.
Oh, probably like drawing teeth.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't want to no.
Go he'll talk about other people. Yeah, that's right. John Spalding, scrum half, was probably one of the most able scrum halves you'll ever see. But he just played. He took over from Mickey Booth, and John didn't say much. He was, I'm not saying he invented it, but what he could do, he could pass a rugby ball without appearing to move. Whereas most scrum halves build up and wind up, John Spalding just used to flick his wrists. And we'd never see anything like that. If you watch all the best players now, everybody, well, not all of them, a lot of them do it. John Spalding was doing this 40 years ago. And suddenly, the ball would be into an area and the opposition didn't quite know how. His problem was he would accept anything that happened from his own team. So he could give John the ball and he'd take all the tackles and he'd just get up. Oh, okay, that's life. What he should have been was more demanding. But John just used to enjoy playing. But very, very gifted. He died early. But not many Gloucester players do die, I think. You can't get rid of them. But John is one of the ones who did. Lovely lad. Worked for his father, which was probably a mistake, but where else is he going to go? And he just enjoyed playing. And it didn't matter, as I say, what happened on a pitch. He could take a mother and father of a beating up for what we did to give him the ball. He just got on with it. But the great thing was the opposition couldn't pull him off. Whatever they did to John Spalding, he would still play his game.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was brave. I think he just got on with it. Things are worse at work, so what's the problem? Somebody's punched you? Yeah, okay. And that was the way John played, but very, very able. Peter Butler, yeah, he came in from Birmingham University, I think. And suddenly you saw a whole new... It's a bit like fast bowling. You see a fast bowler and then, ye God, somebody else is a bit quicker. Well, Peter could kick the ball a bit further than most. And the great thing with him, even when he missed, it was never by much. He never had a howler. Everything was, okay, he might miss by 6 inches a foot, but you knew you were in with a shout. Butler could get them pretty close. But he kicked an awful lot of points.
Indeed.
Eddie Pinkney from Matson, number 8. Great, yeah, Eddie was one of the best broken field runners you'd ever see. He wasn't a potter at 8 who would tackle. He would tackle, but that wasn't his thing. Give him the ball, and suddenly things started to happen. Because I've never seen a forward score tries like Eddie Pinkney. We had one selection meeting, I remember it well, when there was this debate about whether to pick Eddie Pinkney or somebody more reliable in defence. And Peter Ford got it just right. He said, gentlemen, how many points will Eddie Pinkney give away? And we all thought about it. He said, now, put that against how many points will Eddie Pinkney score? So Eddie Pinkney was in. Because Fordy was right. He used to score 2 or 3 tries every game. And he didn't give tries away. His defence wasn't that bad. But Peter Ford got it just right. Here's a man who can change a game. So Eddie was somebody I can see now, that sort of rolling gait and exceptionally quick during the game. Phil Blakeway came along just when I was sort of getting towards the end. I think Phil came when he'd just been banned. So he'd been sent off at Cheltenham and then came over to Gloucester. And Phil was a top-class prop of the right sort. He was somebody I don't think opposition would take too many liberties with. They knew that the retribution might not be very pleasant. Unfortunately, Phil lost that bit of his game. became too internationalised, that that rough edge of try that again, pal, and he started to just play rugby. And I always thought the ultimate deterrent was Phil's great bit, but very, very good prop. Well, had to be, didn't he?
Not averse to getting his retaliation in first.
No. But there was quite a few like that.
And supremely fit, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Still is. Still is. He still trains pretty regularly. I know he does a lot of shooting and stuff, but no, he's fit as a butcher's dog now, which is very impressive.
Yeah. And quite scathing of how fit some of the professional players are.
Yeah, I think he may have a point.
His main point was that they were fit to play very quickly for 2 minutes.
Yep.
Not for 80.
They haven't got endurance. And, yep, and the other thing I would be scathing about is basic skills and understanding of the game. I think players get too much given to them in the way of this is what we're going to do. They don't look capable of working it out when it goes badly. This plan A, lads, isn't working. What's plan... Oh, we haven't been told about a plan B. And I think there's a bit of that.
Yeah.
And I think that the game will suffer because of it. So I do think you've got to be able to change.